Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pratap Snacks Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Shah from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Pratap Snacks Limited's Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Amit Kumar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Sumit Sharma, CFO from the management team. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made in this call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Amit Kumar for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all the participants, and thanks for joining our Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. I trust all of you have reviewed our earnings documents which were shared with you earlier. I'm delighted to share that we have delivered a strong sales growth of 19% during the financial year ended March 31st, 2023. Post the COVID disruption, this is the second consecutive year of strong growth with sales growth of 19% in the previous financial year. Our sales of 16.42 billion in 2022 represents the highest ever sales reported in the company's history. One of the key contributors to this growth was the expansion in the average distribution reach by nearly 1.6 lakh outlets over the last financial year to 21.8 lakh outlets across the country. This was supported by the initiatives like direct distribution and range selling, resulting in increased volumes. Another development that I wish to highlight is the completion of the merger of Avadh Snacks. Following our purchase of around 90% holding of Avadh, we sought to acquire the remaining around 10% by way of a share swap, as we felt that a complete integration of both companies would enable us to unlock further synergies while contributing to streamlining and more efficient operations by reducing the reporting requirements. Building upon these initiatives, we are well-positioned to maintain this positive momentum in sales growth in the quarters ahead. While we started the financial year strongly, we witnessed softening in consumer demand and sluggish rural activities in Q4, which impacted the revenue growth. Despite reporting growth of 19% year-on-year in sales for the full year, we have fallen short of the threshold revenue required to qualify for the production-linked incentive this year. Hence, the PLI recognized on an accrual basis in Q1 to Q3 this year has been reversed in Q4, impacting the total income from operations and the reported EBITDA in the fourth quarter. The silver lining in our performance is that we have witnessed a sharp rise in EBITDA adjusted for the PLI reversal, which stood at rupees 30.2 crores in Q4 2023, which was higher by 511% YoY. The adjusted EBITDA margin has improved by 620 basis points on a year-on-year basis from 1.4% in Q4 2022 to 7.6% in Q4 2023. This margin performance is the highest in the last 12 quarters. This improvement has been driven by our compressed distribution structure, cost optimization measures, and cooling of input prices, setting the tone for an improved margin performance in the next financial year. In this regard, I would like to bring your attention to slide 20, which gives a more granular view on the margin performance. The company has shown its resilience by maintaining and delivering a strong margin profile despite the inflationary trends in the prices of key raw materials. In that backdrop, let me now quickly take you through our financial performance during the period under review. In Q4 2023, income from operations was rupees 398 crores, registering growth of 11% year-on-year basis. Adjusted operating EBITDA stood at 30.2 crores, translating to a margin of 7.6%. We reported PAT of rupees 21.6 crores in the fourth quarter. This was aided by the tax reversal of rupees 19.4 crore on account of completion of the merger with Avadh. In FY23, income from operations stood at 1,641.7 crores, registering growth of 19% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA was 62.4 crores, translating to a margin of 3.8%. We reported full year PAT of rupees 20.3 crores, again aided by the tax reversal due to our merger. The board of directors have recommended a dividend of 20% equating to rupee 1 per share, face value of rupees 5 per share. A quick word on our improving balance sheet. You would have noticed a reduction in borrowing from rupees 30 crores as of March 2022 to 3 crores as of March 2023. This has been achieved despite the CapEx undertaken across our facilities this year. We continue to enjoy our debt-free status on net basis, and our balance sheet is strong to support our growth plans over the next couple of years. We have managed to drive further efficiencies in average working capital from a level of 23 days in 2022 to 13 days in 2023. Sumit, our CFO, is alongside me on this call for any further questions on our financials. To summarize, we are optimistic of delivering strong revenue growth and profitability on the back of continued emphasis on distribution expansion and range selling activities. We expect that consumer demand will be supported by increasing economic activities coupled with cooling off in inflationary trends. On that note, I conclude my remarks, and we can open the floor for discussions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Nilesh Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is that we're targeting a 10% EBITDA margin over the long term. I have just two questions on this. How far do we think we are from this goal or this milestone? Second is this EBITDA margin more than 10% that we are targeting, does that include the PLI incentives in future or not?
Yeah. Good afternoon, this is Sumit.
Yeah. Hi,
Sumit. We are on the path of this double-digit EBITDA margin and which is already reflected in our Q4 margin, where we have delivered 7.6%. Even lot of changes over the period, including squeezing our distribution network, and that has really helped us to improve the EBITDA margin. Our target is to be very close to double-digit EBITDA margin by end of this financial year on a run rate basis. That is excluding PLI. We should be able to reach to somewhere around 9% EBITDA margin on a run rate basis by end of this financial year. That is what we are targeting for.
Okay. Target by the coming year-end is to exit at 9%. Have I understood that correctly? Or it's gonna be 9% for the full year?
Yeah, for the quarter. For the quarter.
For the quarter.
Because
Q4 FY24 we should look forward to something like 9% EBITDA margin.
Right. That is what we are targeting for, because we have already invested in our distribution. If you look at our increase in salary cost, that is primarily on account of increase in headcount in the sales force. Whatever investment is required, we already invested. Now we should get the operating leverage. Once we get the increase in revenue, we'll be getting the benefit of operating leverage as well.
Okay. The second is regarding the accounting policy for this PLI incentive. I mean, how appropriate was it for us to basically start accounting for it, you know, at the start of the year, and not wait to cross the threshold?
Accounting standard Ind AS allows to recognize the incentives on an accrual basis. We feel that's more prudent to accrue on a quarterly basis rather than accruing at the year-end, because in that case you get spike in one particular quarter. and that's why we took a call to recognize the revenue with respect to the PLI on a quarterly basis.
Okay. And how would we be doing now going forward? Would we kind of wait for the milestone or the threshold to cross? How would it work going forward?
Since there was a reversal in quarter four and we could not meet the sales threshold, we might be slightly conservative with respect to the PLI accounting for the current year for FY24.
Okay. So would we, when we say conservative, would we wait for us to hit the target and then account for it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. My second question is essentially on the business outlook, and we're targeting a 15% plus growth rate. How is the demand situation right now on the ground? Do we feel that the inflationary pressures that we saw in the last financial year and its impact on discretionary income and therefore on spending on a category like ours, do those pressures still persist or those pressures have abated? And I'm also saying this in context of how have we seen competitive intensity? Is that also playing a role in terms of, you know, our revenues?
To see our last year performance, the H1 was basically the growth was very good, close to 27%, which dropped down to 11% in H2. So demand was definitely reducing across the country, across the categories, which is very evident from Nielsen data also. The April basically month was slow, but I think the things have started picking up. And this year market should be much better because the inflationary pressures have come down considerably. If you see all the prices across all the categories, from laminate, packaging film, that is to edible oil, everything has gone down except one or two items like wheat, probably, which have gone up and down in recent few months. I think the demand should be better this year, much better than H2 of last year.
Okay. That's helpful and best wishes for the year ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So, sir, my first question is that, you know, in the earlier interactions, we have indicated that as we improve our margins beyond 8.5%, start plowing it back on the A&P side because we are underinvested on that. So when we are guiding for this 9% margin, you know, will it be sustained or then once we reach that threshold, we'll start plowing back money in A&P for growing and then margins will stabilize at a lower level?
I think if we can get sustainable 8 to 9% margin for 2 quarters, we definitely look forward to investing in A&P. But we are looking for at least 2-3 quarters to get anywhere between 8 to 9% margin.
Okay. And then
because advertisement and branding is most basically, and I think that can continue then. That can continue post that.
Okay. So anything above 8 to 9% will get reinvested in A&P, right? That's the right understanding.
At least for the shorter run, longer run probably we have to target double digit EBITDA and then invest in advertisement. But in the short term, we haven't done a lot of advertisement in past few years. First, there was COVID period and then probably couldn't do anything. And the margins were bad for last 3 years since they have started improving. If we get to 8 to 9% margin, we should definitely go on advertisement. But consistent advertisement can only come once we cross double-digit EBITDA margin.
Okay, got it. Sir, if you can give us some sense as to, you know, category-wise, which categories are growing faster, which categories, you know, have performed below par. And also we talked about in our presentation discontinuation and pruning of the product portfolio. So if you can talk a bit more about that, that would be helpful.
I think last year, if you see the 19% growth, most of the categories have done well for us. But one category which has done exceptionally well is the pellet, the fryer business, which has probably outgrown by a big number compared to all other categories. So the fryer fall into the extrusion category, where we are leader in one of the categories, but overall growth has come from pellet category most last year. As far as pruning of SKUs is considered, we thought that we have done too many launches in past 1 to 2 years, and there was a big confusion in the distribution market and the marketing people and the sales guy. So we thought it is better to concentrate on few items which are doing well rather than keep offering everything to the retailer. There is a limit on which you can supply to a retailer number of luddies what is supplied to the retailer. So it's better to keep basically luddies which can move faster from the retail shelf.
And just a follow-up on that. So I think we were, you know, during COVID times, we were facing challenges on the range side. So have we come out of it, and is that segment again started to grow? You know, that was one of the major segments for us. So.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Sorry, there was some technical glitch at our end. We just got disconnected.
Sir,
so
you are reconnected to the call.
So my question was about, did you get the question or should I repeat that?
No, we got your question. Basically, you were asking the ring category was down during the COVID period. Has that improved or not? I think that has started improving slightly. It was basically really down in 3 years during the COVID time. It has started improving. And if we further improve going ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
And the last question is on the our side. So, you know, since now we'll be merging it, we won't be providing separate numbers on that, right? But at least for this year, if you can give us some sense how that business has been growing. We had initiated some changes in organization and we were expecting that business will, you know, grow at a decent pace. So you can throw some light on that.
Yeah, Avadh has grown in line with the product and in terms of
Our
delivered double digit.
Hello. Sir, your audio is breaking up. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Okay. Sorry. How is it now?
So slightly better. So please proceed. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the audio from the management's line. Please stay connected while we try to regain the audio.
Yeah. Sorry. So Avadh, I was talking about in terms of bottom line. Avadh has delivered better margin than Pratap for H2, for quarter 3 and quarter 4. Consistently, Avadh has delivered double-digit with a margin. The top-line growth was in line with Pratap's standalone top-line growth.
Okay, thanks, sir. I have more questions.
Hello, Mr. Desa. Are you done with your question?
I'm done with the question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Shrinjana from Ratna Traya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is regarding the margins firstly. So in this quarter, our margins have improved, and as you mentioned, that partly part of the margin improvement has come because of the distributor, like since we have removed the super stocking. So what I wanted to understand is how much percentage of the margin improvement is because of the due to the channel effect, and how much is because of the raw material price correction. So if you can just help us on that.
Yeah, hi, Shinjana, actually, we started compressing our distribution network somewhere in FY22, and we completed that process by end of 22. So most of the benefit has started flowing from FY22. The overall savings what we got out of the compression of distribution network is roughly around 3.25%. And for FY23 specifically, that would be roughly around 1.6 to 1.7%.
Okay, and this is just in gross margin or including the EBITDA margin? Because I think, as I remember in earlier con calls, you also mentioned in terms of freight costs also we got some benefit because of this super stockist. So the freight cost also reduced. So this 1 point, is it what you're mentioning, that is just gross margin or an EBITDA level as a whole you are seeing?
So the entire saving has been routed through the gross margin, because the reduction in scale and margin has helped us to improve our price realization. So that has improved gross margin as well as the extra margin.
Okay, understood. And sir, in terms of growth, like this quarter, we did see like a little on the growth front, it was a bit weaker, right? So what would be the reason for that? And if you could help us understand a little bit in terms of category, which category is doing well and which category are we seeing some weakness and where we can improve, that would be helpful.
So as Amitji has shared in his earlier answer, that, there was some softness in the market, what we have felt, especially in the rural economy. And that was the primary reason for slowing down the growth for us. I think things have started picking up from May. And in terms of product category, most of the product categories have grown in high teens. And palette particularly, the growth rate was significantly higher.
Okay, understood. And sir, just one more question, like for Avadh subsidiary, what was the sales number for Avadh for the full year, FY23? What did we close at, Avadh?
Avadh revenue number was roughly around 215 odd crore.
Okay, and in terms of EBITDA for Avadh, like, are we seeing any improvement? Because like last two quarters, at least there was slight margin improvement even in that segment, right? So is that also, because of that also the margins have improved? Is that segment is also contributing?
Yeah, certainly. Our margin for Avadh has improved significantly. As I mentioned earlier, EBITDA margin for Avadh for H2 was in double digit, even higher than Pratap standalone.
Okay, and this is at EBITDA level, you are saying double-digit EBITDA margin?
Yeah. This is at EBITDA level.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Chauhan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So I would like to know what would be the margin levers that will take us from 7.6% to 10%, if you can explain a bit.
Sure. So there are two, three major items. First of all, we'll be getting the advantage of operating leverage, especially with respect to the salary cost, because last year we invested heavily in building the sales force, especially in our focus market. So we appointed ASM, RSM, and the sales officers in the focus market. Going forward, the salary cost is going to remain constant, and we'll get the operating leverage on account of increase in sales. We're also driving the cost optimization program. What we did in past, we are focusing on some cost reduction planning, cost reduction programs, especially for the factory overheads, where we are trying to.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has got disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
sincerely apologize for this inconvenience. We are facing some technical issues at our factory.
Sir, you may please proceed. Mr. Bhavesh Chauhan,
yeah.
May you repeat your question for the benefit
of the my question is on how the path towards the 10% operating margin.
Yeah, so I was highlighting that we'll be getting the operating leverage benefit, especially with respect to the salary line item. We're also driving some cost optimization program, especially at our factory level, where we are automating some of the processes to reduce the recurring cost and operating cost. So these things will help us to improve the bottom line by reducing the cost as well as getting the operating leverage.
So at the same time, if there is spike in crude oil or palm oil, that should be considered a risk to our margins, right?
I think we have done sufficient changes to absorb any increase in pricing of raw material like edible oil or packaging film, basically linked to the crude oil. But definitely there would be some impact. But with all the changes what we have done and all the changes what we are, I think we should be able to absorb it to the most possible extent.
So, Bhavesh, I would like to refer here our presentation, especially the slide number 20, where we have highlighted what was the average EBITDA margin in FY16 to FY20, and where the oil price was pretty low. Now, if I compare that period versus quarter four, there is a significant spike in the price of palm oil, which is around 60%, and also spike in some of other raw material, and there is also increase in the overhead. In spite of these things, we could able to enhance our margin, and that is primarily because of what changes we have made over the period. So that gives us confidence that we can manage these kind of price fluctuation and maintain the bottom line.
Yeah, sir, got that. And sir, what is the contribution of 5 rupee pack currently?
That is roughly around
80%.
85%.
We had an earlier plan to bring that down significantly, so that will also play out in margin. So any particular target that we could have for FY24?
I think we plan to bring down to 70% probably by next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
What has happened in the economy?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was on, you know, top line growth. We are hearing that some of our larger peers have grown at a higher rate compared to us during FY23, despite having, you know, almost two and a half times our revenue base. So, you know, even FY22, even in FY22, Q1 had a low base because of the second wave of COVID. So anything you would like to comment on that?
I think we grew substantially well in the first half of the last year. That was close to 27%. Second half was not that good. But if we see overall industry, I can't mention about one of the players, but probably we have, probably in the growth list, probably we've been the first one or two companies in the country. There were only two companies who have gained market share last year, out of which we were one of them.
And which was the other one? Balaji?
Mention the name basically. So
what you're saying is the other companies have grown at a lower pace compared to us, apart from one more company.
Apart from one or two companies. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. And
that's basically what we did.
So you, your voice is not clear.
Sorry,
we're not able to.
Members of the management team, we are unable to hear you clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has got disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management.
Sure.
Mr. Sharma, you're reconnected. Please proceed. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry, apologize. We are facing some technical issues on account of bad weather here in Indore.
Sure.
Some issue with the lead line. Really sorry for this inconvenience.
No, no issues. You were saying, sir, on apart from one more player, we have grown. The rest of the players in the industry have grown at a slower pace compared to us.
I think that is basically what we understand from the Nielsen data what we have subscribed to.
Sure. Sir, second question was on the EBITDA margins of ours, so what is happening? There has been a substantial turnaround in our performance because, as per understanding, in FY21 and FY22, ours reported around 2-2.5% kind of margins. And as Sunit was saying, in Q4, we have touched almost double digit margins. So what is happening, on Avad and why it has turned around?
Yeah, we did certain cost optimization program at Avad as well, what we did in Pratap. So we got certain savings on a few cost line items. In addition to that, there was also some grammage rationalization in case of Avad.
But grammage rationalization we have also done in Pratap, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but competition dynamics are different, markets are different, offerings are different. So,
sure. So, and is it that the freight cost has become a big dent for pan India players like us compared to regional players like ours?
Absolutely. Definitely, there is a delta in freight cost for a regional player vis-a-vis a national player.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Sumit and Amit. Thanks for the opportunity. Good afternoon. I was more curious. If I look back last 5 to 6 quarter, I think cost is one of the big issue which we have been facing. And if I remember, we were trying to push full truckload to the distributors. So can you quantify how much is now that project has been successful? And maybe if you can say that full truckload, what is the contribution of sales?
I think more than 90% sales now govern directly to distributors and the full truckload goes to them. More than 90% has been already done.
Okay. The second point, what I wanted to check, though we have done a distribution, but when we look at the ground channel, the wholesale is still dominant part of our sales. So would you say that during COVID period, what was the sales of wholesale contribution to the overall sales and now where it is settled?
I think we don't see any significant movement from COVID period to this period, though there may be 2-3% probably difference between the retail sales and the wholesale sales. As per our estimate, our more than 50% sales come from the direct distribution reach to the retail outlet and almost 45% plus sales come from the wholesale market. So the policy there would be 2-3% different, not more than that.
Okay. Got it.
In the pre and post COVID. Sure.
The other question I was asking, generally to my understanding, the Namkeen guys has delivered a best growth in the current circumstances. And I think if I'm not mistaken, to my understanding, industry is about 45 and 50%. while our portfolio in Namkeen is little lower or significantly lower. What are the attempts or what are the new launches, or is there any thought that we have some right to win in Namkeen?
Namkeen overall category is close to 50%, and in the last few years, if you see in the COVID era, the impulse purchase category was down and the Namkeen category was doing better, which we can definitely evident in the last 2-3 years. Our Namkeen percentage sales probably overall in Yellow Diamond would be less than 12-13% compared to 50% overall industry average and 60-70% of the major Indian players in this category. We are trying to increase Namkeen sales. We have added few products which can probably put on some sales, and I think this percentage should improve considerably probably next 1 year time.
I just wanted to check, Amit, why are we hesitant? Because Namkeen will definitely have a better margin profile and there is a trading up opportunity also.
No, so we are not hesitant. We are trying to do too many things in Namkeen. We have launched few products. We have put new plants basically to get few products which were not manufacturing earlier. I think we are betting big on Namkeen for the coming year. It takes time. We have started focusing on Namkeen probably in the last 6 to 8 months time only. Kuch machines we have already installed and some machines we have ordered. I think we should be significantly different percentage sales in Namkeen probably a year from now.
Okay. Okay. My last question on PLI, what is the quantum or the money which we have received in FY23 and what is the expectation? I think Sumit gave some angle that how the accounting will happen, but in terms of your assessment, what will be the quantum of PLI which will come?
So we haven't gained anything of PLI in the last year because we couldn't achieve the sales. This year, if we can achieve the minimum target which needs around 14% growth for this year, we should get minimum quantum around 26 to 27 crore.
27 crore?
Yeah, this year.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shrinjana from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a follow-up, sir, on the what we discussed about the PLI scheme. So next year, if you're saying that if we need 14% growth for the PLI incentive, right? But as per the presentation, it says that potato chips will be excluded, right? So 14% growth, would that translate into like a 10% CAGR from the FY20 base? Like what share are we assuming for the potato chips in FY24?
Yeah, Shrinjana, we are assuming the similar sort of product mix, and with similar sort of product mix, if we grow by around say 14 or 14.5%, we should be able to hit the minimum threshold required for the PLI.
That is 10% CAGR, right? From FY20.
So that is 10% CAGR over the base year, and the base year was FY20.
Okay.
So we were badly impacted during the... Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Yeah, please continue.
No, I was just asking what was the share of potato chips in the base year, because actually I was trying to work out the math and it was not tying back with the numbers, so that's why I just wanted clarification. Like, what was the potato chip share in FY20, the base year?
That was roughly around 23-24% odd.
Okay. And okay, thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll move on to the next question that is on the line of Bhaskar Chaudhary from Entrust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So, first question, you mentioned that you're trying to increase growth on the Namkeen side. Just to understand, what's the financial profile of that business? Is it very different from the chips, etc. business, in terms of margin or in terms of working capital days, etc., or is it broadly similar?
It's very similar, very, very similar.
Okay, understood. The second question was, if I heard correctly, you said that once you hit a sustainable 8 to 9% EBITDA margin for a few quarters, you look to reinvest in A&P. So is there like a target A&P cost percentage of sales that you are looking for over the next, 4 quarters or 6 quarters?
I think if you see, we do two kinds of advertisement. First is advertisement related to the toy what we offer in the ring category, which we have been consistently doing for so many years. Other than that, if you have to do any brand building exercise, minimum quantum required today would be close to 25 crores for a year. It would be a one bus probably. So in percentage terms, that would be hardly 1-1.5% on the yearly basis.
Understand. And just from the last question, can you give us a sense of where you are in terms of capacity or capacity utilization, any significant capacity addition plans that you have for the next couple of years?
The current utilization level for the overall capacity would be roughly in the range of 55 to 60%. I think we can optimally utilize 80-85% on an overall basis. So there is headroom available or surplus capacity available in terms of production capacity. We are anyway investing under the PLI. We are putting up a new plant in Jammu, and that will also add the overall capacity. So in next 2 years, the overall capex we expect should be in the range of 100 crore to 105 crore, including the investment which is required to be made under the PLI.
Okay, and I'm a little new to the company, so the question might be basic, but is it primarily all in-house manufacturing? Do you also do any job work, or is it all in-house?
So it's 75-25. So 75 is roughly from our own manufacturing facilities, and 25% is contributed by the third-party contract manufacturer. They manufacture for us.
Understand. And is there a product split also, or is it, are some products under the contract manufacturing way, or is it, it's just a mix across?
It's a mix across. So in different regions, there are different arrangements.
And Namkeen category, we do exclusive only at Indore.
Namkeen is centralized at Indore.
Understand. Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. The line for the current participant was placed on hold. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, my line got on hold. So just wanted to understand one thing on the margins front. Earlier, we were looking at double-digit kind of margins with PLI incentive. But I think we have, toned down our expectations on the margins a bit. So if you can tell us the reasons for the same.
No, there is no change in the guidance. As I have mentioned in my earlier remarks, that we are targeting roughly around 9% EBITDA margin by end of this financial year, and that is excluding PLI. If I add PLI would be more than 1.25%.
How are we planning to account for this PLI incentives? Will we continue our practice for FY23, or as you were saying, we might look to change that. So anything that we've decided on staying?
Yeah, we might be more conservative in terms of recognizing the PLI incentive going forward. So this time we might be recognized on an annual basis.
Sure, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for spending time with us on this call today. We will look forward to interacting with you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pratap Snacks Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.